Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, got to get on. Dr. Drew's board first-time Bandini fertilizer man. All right, Drew. I got a thought.
All right, let's hear it.
Thought about it yesterday, which is, you know, we're constantly trying to figure out what to do with crime and these kids and the violence and school fights and young people putting their hands on others, you know, and shootings and sort of chaos.
A lot of men beating up women on Twitter these days.
Are there?
Yeah.
A lot of that. Lots of rando stuff. It's sort of crazy stuff. And it strikes me that you kind of go, well, what is this? How do we address this? You know, and I realize that there's kind of a left and right divide. Mm. But I've sort of broken it up into categories. I'm going to see if I can flesh this out with you. Which is, I've broken it up into a beginning, a middle, and an end. Now, the left's approach is they don't work on the beginning and they don't work on the end. They work on the middle.
Mm.
So what they want is more social workers, more counselors, mm-hmm. more groups, you know what I mean? More play, you know, nighttime playgrounds and stuff like that to intervene when these kids are 13 or 14 or 15. You know, they work on the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning, which is don't have a bunch of kids if they don't know their dad and you're living in poverty and you're living off the government. Stop having kids.
We used to call it screwed up kid, people having screwed up kids. Remember that?
Yeah. I was on this from Jump Street.
1989,
93. I was on it in 95, 96. But the point is this. I've always known it. Yeah. But good luck getting that across to whoever's hosting the HuffPo TV show who wants to know about the school-to-prison pipeline.
Yeah.
Now, the school-to-prison pipeline, the part where the kid is putting his hands on the teacher when the kid's 15, that's the middle.
Mm.
The problem with the middle is it's too late to talk that kid who grew up in a horrible environment being abused and beaten on. You have difficulty talking that kid out of putting his hands on.
Let's even put a nicer blush to it. Let's say they missed – maybe it's a biological problem and they missed an opportunity to treat that at age 8. You try to treat it later. It gets much more difficult.
Right. So there is the beginning of the beginning, which is, hey, don't have kids out of wedlock and the government's not going to support that and so on and so forth. Community, family, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's the beginning part. That's the beginning of the beginning. Then there's sort of the front of the beginning or the early stages of beginning, like let's get that kid evaluated at age 7, you know, whatever. Then there's the middle. The middle is we need more counselors. Or the middle involves either we need more counselors or the kid who put his hands on the school teacher shouldn't be suspended.
Right.
So it's either we need a whole bunch of shit or we have to start doing nothing.
We have to do less with those kids. Ask less of them so they're not stressed.
Right. So my thing, and then there's the end. The end is Rudy Giuliani showing up in the 90s to New York City.
Yeah.
Cops, arrest everybody, get them off the street, broken window theory. Stop and frisk. You know, that's the end. The end is a show of force.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think you could kind of apply this to the homeless situation too. It's sort of now my argument. So the left's argument is it's all about the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are strung out on drugs. They're sleeping on the street and we need more something for them. But the middle never works.
Boy, the middle always involves allowing them to do more of the same.
Right. Right.
Rather than it's like let's accommodate the same. Rather than in that world there's no progression.
Right.
But in human world, there's almost always progression.
Right. Now my stance is more beginning and more end.
I agree.
So let's get the message out. Let's get the birth control going. Let's talk about single moms and raising kids and poverty and what that leads to and not finishing high school and stuff. Let's all get to that at the beginning. And then if they do hit the street and they are committing crimes, then the end needs to swoop in with force.
Yep.
Now, the thing I always find interesting is that the progressive people only want the middle.
It's weird.
They don't really want to tell you what to do at the beginning, and they don't want any enforcement at the end. They want the middle.
Yeah.
The middle is not tenable, and it just leads to more.
Yeah.
And that's why we're in the situation we're at
now. I completely agree. And the middle also, they deny the progression. That's the part that makes me crazy. You're in the middle of something, quite literally, and you're expecting people to stay in the middle. They don't. Even when you give them lots of good services, they don't go stay in the middle. They progress. It has a developmental process to it. And all these things that you sustain in the middle get worse.
Very good point.
And kill people too.
All right. Any thoughts? You want to hop on the phones?
We have not yet addressed on this show Scott Adams. I want to get to it, but let's get some calls in.
Let's talk to Jeff, 36, Minneapolis.
Mijo. Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, guy.
So I actually called in a couple years ago. My brother was having a manic bipolar episode. Mm. And this kind of speaks to what you guys are saying with, like, family. You know, Drew said, like, get him to a doctor. We went in, took him to the ER, got him on some meds, and, you know, this could have been a life-altering thing for my brother. He's only 20 years old. And all those interventions, getting the family involved, all that stuff, we had him back on track, basically all fine and good within 6 months.
Correct.
And he's doing really well. He's in college, all that stuff. And to your point, it's so much of it is reliant on family and involvement. What can we do at a society level to empower, like, families? You see these homeless people, and they've probably had families who've tried stuff in the past.
Well, Jeff,
you know, with these issues,
yes,
what do you do?
Look, most of the ones you see, say, in Minnesota are probably drug addicted. And drug addicts, it's different than a bipolar patient because they have to really be involved in a very structured treatment process for quite some time. With the bipolar patients and the schizophrenics, you were in Minnesota where you can treat people. You're allowed as a family member to take them in. In California, New York, you can't. To do what you did, you would have broken the law in this state. So
That's just crazy.
It's horrible. And so if you lived in California, your brother would be either dead or still on the streets.
Yep. Yeah, it's a crazy issue, Drew.
I
don't know what we do at a national level, but just seeing it firsthand and taking your advice, like, it made a huge difference because you wouldn't even know with my brother, like, that he had this little blip.
He's doing so good. Jeff, I know what I'm talking about. I've done it for 30 years, and you did exactly most people don't necessarily follow my direction, so thank you for doing, on behalf of your brother, for doing what I told you. But you do what I say, and people get better. You don't do it, and they die. And that there's no one involved in the process of policy and laws around this who actually knows how to deal with it is just so astonishing.
Yeah,
it's too much.
It's too much, and there's some sort of disconnect, and I think it's inherent to governmental agencies, which is private sector businesses that rely on results and thus profits have very strict mandates on, not imposed by the government, imposed by themselves, like self-imposed. What can we do that works and what's not working and how do we fix it? And we can't waste money on projects that aren't working and so on and so forth. And the unlimited funds with the no results yield just is going to create this. There is no incentive. I mean, the bottom line is everything is just sort of incentive oriented and incentive based. And the more we grow government bureaucracy, the less incentive there is. And then it gets into a sort of who cares mentality of everything. They're never going to stop being paid. And then, of course, it's not effective, which is where we're at. Now, for some reason, my mom's belief would be if they just had more money, you know, more funding. You know what I mean? Like every single failing project, schools, infrastructure, homelessness, like we need funding. You've been funded to the tune of billions of dollars over the years. Mm-hmm. There is no result coming out the other end. More funding? I mean, and I don't know any straight line between funding and schools.
And results.
And results.
No, in fact, the opposite. More you spend, less things get better. Not the less, but things don't get better. That's the point for people that are studying this. Like you keep asking for money, it keeps getting sent, nothing changes.
Yes.
Something's wrong. Something's wrong with the model.
And the people that spend the money are the ones that are saying, we need funding. You know what I mean? And then for some reason, and it's never – I don't believe you need funding for schools or homelessness. I mean, you need some funding to spend it right. But the notion of more funding would be like you saying – I can lose weight if I had more money.
Right. It's called throwing money at things. That's why they describe it that way.
It'd be like, you can lose weight if you start exercising and stop eating donuts. No, no. We need more funding, more research, more food pyramids.
If people knew how many billions are spent on homelessness in California, they would be – they all think it has something to do with not enough money. There's not enough to help these people.
Well, what they think it has to do with not enough houses.
Right. Right.
Nobody – sleeping in a refrigerator box under a freeway overpass is there because they can't find a buddy to do some couch surfing. Nobody. That's not why they're there. It's the most abundantly obvious notion in the world.
Mm-hmm.
No. No, can't. Well, starting to seep in?
Yes, starting to seep in. It'll be interesting to see what our new mayor's success rate is. She's putting people in hotels not against their will, but with significant urging. And I saw the other day, she goes, you know, Karen Bass' program is working so well. They've got 60 people into hotels.
60.
There's 80,000 people on the street.
Yeah.
What are they And by the way, I want to know how many of those 60 stayed.
No.
Yeah.
They're doing drugs. All right, Drew.
Yeah, man.
Nice job. All right. You want to take some more calls up there?
I don't know. Should we talk about – let's take line four. She's been a hold for a while.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hello, Christy, 47, Wisconsin.
Hey, Dr. Drew. How's it going?
Christy.
Thanks, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not calling in about the science. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, boy. What's going on, Christy? Here we go.
All right. I know I'm calling on behalf of many women on Twitter. You know, I'm a scientist, but I also went to school to be a therapist. Mm-hmm. And myself and other women, nurses, doctors, therapists, what the fuck has happened to dating? It is so bad out there. I know, Dr. Drew, you're married, but I don't know if you're hearing from guys as well what a shit show it is.
Well, are you in terms of the dating apps or in terms of the culture of dating?
General.
Or all of the above, yeah.
All of it. Like, I'm seeing dismissive avoidance, like people who don't want to commit, or the flip side, they want to marry me tomorrow and we haven't even kissed yet or done anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just wild. Like, you're either seeing people who are really avoidant, or they are preoccupied and anxious and are projecting, like, that I'm the one. So it either goes really polarized, like I'm the one, or they don't even know me.
Yeah. And either way, they don't know you either
way. They don't
want
to commit at all.
Yeah. So I saw this coming back in the 80s and 90s. I remember I used to go to college campuses and give lectures about, you know, what's healthy for people to do, you know, that, you know, spending time with other people, breaking bread with them, not either just hooking up or hanging out. Those are two extreme options when there is this middle ground of just relating and figuring out who you are in relation to somebody else. And that was rejected for the hookup culture, right? It was much cooler to get wasted and just hook up. And I kept asking the question, well, if it's such a cornerstone of your social life, why do you have to be fucked up to do it? It's so good, you have to be fucked up. And interestingly, the women would answer completely differently than the men. But it's evolved from there now with the apps where only 10% of the people are really having any success with the apps. And those people are like promiscuous. They're like having too much. And they're sort of leaving everybody else in the dust, particularly the men. And so as you're complaining about the men, they have no experience with forming and breaking relationships. So the intensity is sort of very primitive. It's just very, as you're pointing out, whatever their attachment style is, just kind of comes through rather than the ritual of spending time with somebody, learning who they are. You know, they just don't have any experience with that. They're all in or they're all out.
Right.
You have any thoughts?
I've had marriage proposals even on Twitter. And it's even from psychologists. Even psychologists aren't getting it.
Yeah, it's sad to me.
Well, look, we're going to
– Adam is a puss.
I mean, look, first off, I sort of reject the notion like when people – stand-up comedians, female stand-up comedians, oh, dating in L.A. Ladies, can we talk? Can we talk? Dating in L.A. It's like, I don't know. It's a date anywhere, people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I kind of reject the
regional stuff.
Even dating in fill-in-the-blank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dating at the workplace, dating in L.A., dating in 2023. I do kind of reject that. There's always people out there. They're good people. You can have relationships. There is something that is kind of pushing against relationships because it's the same thing that's pushing against good young employees, which is – A narcissism.
Yes.
And so if you set the definition of a good relationship is a sort of lack of narcissistic endeavor on both sides, sort of equal, you know, if we're both looking out for ourselves. Like if there's two of us in the room and we both need to be praised, how's the math going to work out?
Mutuality or reciprocity.
Yeah. So in a world where there's so much narcissism, that inherently is going to hurt dating because dating is that reciprocity that we're after you. No, after you. You know?
And by the way, then that back and forth is what you sit and share back and forth across a meal. And you just spend that time and you learn about that person. You learn about yourself, relation to that person. That's all out. all gone.
I think there's also maybe a quiet thing that is not spoken of, but the lack of ability to focus and concentrate by younger people because they're just so up in their phone and they're so sort of scattered all the time.
Yeah,
they're being like pulled in a million different directions because a relationship takes like listening and focusing and understanding. And if you're just kind of on Twitter all day, you're in – you don't really have that ability. I mean, there's a reason I close my eyes and I've always closed my eyes when people talk. I'm trying to drink it in.
Yeah.
I don't even want to look at a tree because I might start looking at the tree and seeing something in the tree while I'm trying to absorb an idea.
Right.
So closing your eyes gets you the most information. Fucking around with your phone while someone is talking, that's the least amount of absorption.
Christy is, though, really complaining about men.
Yes.
And women are, as we've discussed for 30 years, sort of a little more sensitive to, wired up for relating and relationships. And that's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. It's why I used to say we needed more of the female brain in our world. And I think what you're describing really works against men because men have to develop a skill in relating.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have experience with it because they don't come by it typically very naturally. Not what she would file in a satisfying date or relationship in any event.
Right? Yeah, I'd say old school. Go back to getting set up.
Friends of friends, I know.
Friends of friends.
Yeah, it's a good way to go.
All right. Let's see. Any other thoughts, Drew?
Let's
bang a few calls.
No, let's have our little conversation about our friend Scott Adams.
Oh, yeah.
So we were asked by Megyn Kelly what we thought about this stuff. And I said at the time, I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know what he's up to, but I know he's up to something. He's always up to something. It's always very premeditated and conscious what he's doing. And it's funny, he read my quote during the next day on his little streaming show, and then he went, huh. And he just kind of went on. Like, yeah. Well, yeah, anyway.
Your quote was, he's up to something.
He's up to something. He's an expert in hypnosis and persuasion. And I said he's been experimenting with how hoaxes are created. I think I also said cancellation, but I don't know if he got that part of the quote. He's been trying to get canceled. He's been pointing out how hoaxes get created. And I think he finally just had enough and just drilled right into the center of this stuff with the third rail, with something that we knew would get a reaction. I heard him say today, even he was surprised by the magnitude of the reaction, which I was not. But he is trying to point out, you know, the kinds of things you and I talk about all the time in terms of the lunacy of cancellation. What we were talking about on Monday, the lunacy of the excesses in terms of small numbers of people having crazy, tyranny over everybody else. And he has been explaining it over and over again, how his goal was not to say something racist, but to say something non-racist to try to get at healing. But all the context that he uses to explain it never gets reported on. The other thing he noticed, he pointed out, was that all these newspapers are running articles about what a shithead he is, and none of them have called for comment or explanation. None.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Not one. Not one outlet. This journalist. These are journalists?
No.
No.
I mean, well, look, you're exactly right. They don't want to know. Just like
– they want the headline. They want – these. You mentioned Trayvon Martin a few minutes ago.
I did?
I'm pretty sure he did.
I didn't hear
I
that.
Did? No.
You mentioned – maybe
– not on this show.
Maybe
that's
it was
long,
Monday.
Long
maybe
haulers.
It was Monday.
No. No.
If it wasn't Trayvon Martin, it might have been I don't think it was Jesse Smollett. You said Trayvon Martin. And you were talking about how
– I've never brought his name up.
You're going to have to look at the last show. It's like in the last 15 minutes.
No, we're not. We're not. I didn't bring
the
his
reason,
name up.
The reason it occurred to me was I was going to say that I was involved in that, the reporting on that. And we
You're
were
on CNN.
I was on CNN at the time. And the only thing they cared about was eyes. Just the heat was on get eyes. And when we arrived at that, that was something we found was a model for capturing eyes. And so we went at it in terms of the trial and everything else and commentating on it and whatever. I think that's the moment where race and police brutality and all that kind of things, and gun violence became a business model for a lot of the news outlets. That's why it occurred to me that when you said that, I forget what the context was. You might have said that. Maybe you didn't.
No, I didn't. I definitely didn't.
All right.
But here's the thing. We may mention it off the air, but we did not mention it on the air.
Okay.
But sometimes it gets a little blurry.
Yeah.
To me, there's a couple of culprits here. CNN is a culprit, but telling CNN not to stoke horrible race relationships is like saying to Coca-Cola, hey, come on now with the sugar. It's bad for the kids. You have seen how fat kids are. You think they're going to do something about
it? It's their business model.
It's their business.
Yeah.
So
it's how they get the stuff sold.
Coke has a lot of commercials about have a Coke and a smile and hug everybody and all this. It's part of the good times. And they don't have obese people on their commercials, but expecting Coke to reel it in with the sugar is like asking MSNBC, reel it in with all the race baiting, would you please?
That's right.
That's a business model.
Yeah.
I don't expect anything out of them quite. I do sort of expect something out of the Obamas, even though they're race hustlers and it's become their business now, sadly. But it would be nice if the LeBron James and the Obamas and Oprahs would kind of Tyler Perry's and stuff kind of pipe up and start saying at least adding some context to this. Now, I get they're in the club and they don't want to be thrown out of the club, but or maybe it's Mark Cuban, maybe it's Bill Gates. Like maybe they start speaking up. Some of the, you know, Jay-Z and Beyonce or something. Some of the Rihanna, some of the cultural folks. Things could change pretty dramatically and pretty quickly.
What would they have to say, though, to get things in a better place?
Well, they could. There's a good, a bad, and a middle. The middle is just shut the fuck up. That's just shut up, Obama's, about what a horrible racist society, or you're not seen, or white women are cutting in front of you at the Froyo stand. You know, just shut up with your fucking nonstop nonsense about not being seen and being treated as other and not having a seat at the table. You do a lot of good just by shutting the fuck up. That'd be a good thing. A better one would be adding some context. Hey, I was elected 2 times for president of the United States. I don't know how racist this country could be. Or if I was explaining to you that a country, forget about race. Let's just say there's this country and they hate Jews. They hate Jews, but they elected a Jewish president, you know, 2 years running. Wouldn't you stop? And at that point and go, well, how bad could it be if the country decided to elect a Jew? If he could add some context, stuff he said early on in his career. When I say early on, I mean at the, you know, back when he was a kid at 51 or 48, you know what I mean? He said reasonable things about race. Now, he's been caught up, and I guess he's just hammering checks, but a lot could be done with these people would. And then the more extreme version is, let's talk statistics. Let's talk about cops. Let's talk about shootings. Let's talk about who's doing all the shooting here. Let's talk about who's being killed by who. Well, that would be the cherry on top. They're never going to get into that. They're never going to, and they're not even going to get in the middle where they just shut up about it. They're talking about it, baiting and hammering checks. I get it.
Let's use your Jewish society model. Mm-hmm. And a Jew is is elected president. After he steps down from his presidency, he's shocked to find out that there still seems to be, or at least people still feel like people hate Jews in that country.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be a more productive thing to go, huh, why is this happening and what can we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's there, stats won't change it. People feel this way. Mm-hmm. And what is it that's going on that making people feel like that?
Well, part of it's him and his wife.
Maybe they're shocked that people still feel that way. I don't know.
Yeah.
No?
They're not dumb. They're getting deals at Netflix. What does Netflix feel about this?
In terms of healing it?
Yeah. I mean, where are they politically?
Yeah, right.
All the people that are cutting deals with them have big bullhorns on this subject, and we know how they lean. And you're getting paid from them. So what are you going to say about it? That's my point.
But maybe the goal is – do you think they think they're making things worse?
No.
No, they're trying to make things better.
No, I honestly don't know if they think they're trying to make things better. I do not think they're trying to make things worse in their mind. They are making things worse, but they're not
–
I don't think they intend to.
Right. Right.
Wow, what's Coca-Cola think about themselves?
Well, they're a business. They have no thinking, right? They just – more sales.
Well, you just got a $100 million deal from Netflix. I'm going to call you a business now, too.
I wish I knew. What is that they're going to produce? Do we know what kind of thing it is?
It doesn't. It'll be whatever the next thing is. I'm just saying.
I can hope for better. I can hope for it.
Right.
If it is a business.
I'm not as hopeful. I'm just saying. Is Coca-Cola evil?
No.
What do they want? Do they want to hurt kids?
No, they want to sell more Coke.
That's right. We want to cut our next deal with Netflix. Okay. That's how it works.
Yeah, but to your point, Obamas could say anything and they'd still get to cut a deal with Netflix because they're who they are.
Start saying things that are counter to the culture see how long your status is your status.
That'd be really interesting. That'd be super interesting.
I would say there have been examples, Drew, of people that had status and started to lose status. Elon Musk was beloved.
It's true.
Not so much anymore.
Right. It's true.
He was considered a genius savior. I have no idea what's going on the screen. But he was considered a genius savior and heralded by the left for his life. Then he said a couple of things.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're in that controversial, but he said a couple of things. Now where is he?
Yeah.
Dennis Prager used to be printed in the LA Times all the time. He said
I
a few
was on
things.
CNN for 10 years.
You were on CNN. So was Mark Garagos. So
yeah.
was I.
Yeah.
Those days are over. There's no one they won't turn on.
To your point, though, the market tends to settle some of this stuff, right?
Yeah, they're playing to the market.
And CNN's business model is not working so well.
They're trying to get paid by Netflix.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Tomorrow, going to be in Vegas, Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club. Go out there and say, I'll be up there with friends doing stand-up and enjoy that. And then it's off to Naples, Florida, off the Hook Comedy Club. That's March 24th, 25th. And then it's off to Turlock and Fresno and all over the place. Go to AdamCarolla.com for everything. What do you need, Drew?
After Dark, Doctor.TV for the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday show. Check them out.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Doctor Sam. Mahalo.